As the forfeiture restriction will be lifted within 5 years, there is no charge on the acquisition of the shares, even though the sale restriction is in place for 6 years. The first charge will arise when the forfeiture restriction is lifted in June 2010. We calculate the charge using our formula, UMV multiplied by IUP less PCP less OP. UMV is the market value of the shares at the date the restriction is lifted, ignoring any other restrictions, i.e. £3. IUP is the proportion of the initial value which has not been charged to tax. The initial unrestricted market value was £2 per share, but Jed contributed 20 pence per share. So, £1.80 of the £2 has not been charged to tax, giving an IUP of 0.9, which is obtained by dividing the £1.80 by £2. PCP is the previously charged portion, which in this case is nil, as this is the first chargeable event under section 428. OP is the proportion of the share value still subject to restrictions. The unrestricted market value when the forfeiture restriction is lifted is £3 per share, and the restricted value is £1.20. So, £1.80 is the amount relating to the restriction, giving a value for OP of 0.6, i.e. £3 less the £1.20 divided by £3. We now have all the figures we need to calculate the tax charge. We multiply the £10,000 by £3, then multiply this figure by 0.9 less nil less 0.6, giving income chargeable of £9,000. A second charge will arise when the sale restriction is lifted in June 2013, calculated using the same formula. UMV will be the market value of the shares, which is £4 per share. IUP does not change and therefore remains at 0.9. PCP is no longer nil, as there was a charge when the forfeiture restriction was lifted. The initial uncharged portion was 0.9, and the outstanding portion, still subject to restrictions after the first restriction was lifted, was 0.6. So, the previously charged portion is 0.3. OP is nil, as there is now no amount still subject to restrictions. Therefore, the income charged to tax will be calculated as £10,000 multiplied by £4, then multiplied by 0.9, less 0.3, less nil, giving £24,000. Turning now to capital gains tax issues. A capital gain will arise on the eventual sale of the shares, calculated by taking the sales proceeds and deducting the CGT base cost. For capital gains tax purposes, the shares have a base cost calculated by taking amounts paid by the employee for the shares and adding the amounts taxed as employment income. In our earlier illustration above, Yvonne sold her 5,000 shares for £12.50 each in January 2011. She was not required to pay for the shares, but had been charged to income tax on £40,000 when they were acquired, and on £12,500 when the restriction was lifted. Her capital gain will therefore be the sales proceeds of £62,500, being 5,000 shares at £12.50 each, less the base cost. The base cost is the amount paid for the shares, in this case nil, plus the amount taxed as employment income, being £40,000 plus £12,500, giving a base cost of £52,500. Yvonne's capital gain is therefore £10,000. Where shares subject to restrictions other than forfeiture are given to employees, it is possible for the employee and employer to make a joint election to ignore the impact of all restrictions. In the event of an election,
all the rules on restricted securities are disregarded, even those rules involving shares subject to forfeiture. In this case, an income tax charge will arise when the shares are awarded, based on the unrestricted market value of the shares at the time of their acquisition. This charge will be the unrestricted value of the shares at the date of award, less the amount paid by the employee for the shares. However, if such an election is made, there is no income tax charge when the restriction comes to an end. The time limit for making this election is 14 days from the receipt of the shares. The election is irrevocable once made. Again, there is no requirement to send the election to HMRC. However, the election must be kept on file by the company in case of an inquiry. The effect of an election is that all future increases in value from the date of award will not be charged to income tax, but will instead be subject to capital gains tax. However, if the shares are disposed of for less than the unrestricted market value, any income tax paid on the initial award cannot be recovered. Let's return to the illustration of Yvonne. Yvonne works for Carib Limited. On the 5th of January 2008, she is given, free of charge, 5,000 shares in Carib Limited. The shares were valued at £10 each in January 2008. However, a condition of the offer is that Yvonne is prohibited from selling the shares until the 6th of January 2011. The effect of this restriction is to depress the share value as at January 2008 to £8 per share. Yvonne and Carib Limited make a joint election under Section 431 of ITEPA 2003. Yvonne waits until the 7th of January 2011, at which point she sells her shares for £12.50 each. We will calculate the amount now taxed as employment income. Yvonne has restricted shares and a Section 431 election is made. The charge to tax on acquisition in January 2008 will be the unrestricted value of the shares at the date of award, being 5,000 shares at £10, less the amount paid by the employee for the shares, being nil, giving employment income of £50,000. No further charge arises when the restriction is lifted in January 2011. We next calculate the capital gain on sale. Sales proceeds are £62,500, being 5,000 shares at £12.50 each. The CGT base cost is the amount paid for the shares, in this case nil, plus the amount taxed as employment income, being £50,000, giving a base cost of £50,000. Yvonne's capital gain is therefore £12,500. The effect of the election is to turn more of Yvonne's profit into capital gain. Without an election, Yvonne has employment income of £52,500 and a capital gain of £10,000.
Having more of the profit chargeable to CGT is beneficial for Yvonne, given that the CGT rate is 18% if the gain falls within the basic rate band, or otherwise 28%.